Now, I don't know whether any of you have worn 60 pounds of bronze armour, but the idea of having a contingent run for a mile over open space and keep order is one that is a little difficult to imagine. I'm told that a generation or two ago, an eminent historian attempted to test this by having 60 pounds of armour made, going to Marathon and jogging across the plain to the sea's edge. He'd run about 20 yards when he tripped over, hit his head and was knocked out. However, the story has a happy ending because apparently when he woke up, he was being nursed by a rather attractive young graduate student and they were subsequently married. Another potentially more serious problem with the Herodotean account is that he says that the horses were absent, that is to say the Persian cavalry wasn't there. And historians would love to know where the Persian cavalry was. And these questions raise some doubts about the veracity of the Herodotean account, and the numbers, of course, raise questions as well. Such a phenomenally high number of Persians killed and such a low number of Athenians. Was it, in fact, a major invasion by the Persians in an attempt to take over and annex the territory of Athens? Well, that's certainly the way the Greeks saw it, but it's probably more likely that it was a punitive expedition, an expedition that might symbolically assert the power of the Persians, but probably would not lead to the Persians taking over the city. One factor to keep in mind here is that the Persian forces were guided to Marathon by none other than Hippias, the son of the old Athenian tyrant Pisistratus, a son who had ruled on his own in Athens for about 15 years before being expelled. So it is likely that had the Persians been successful, Athens would not have come under direct Persian control, but rather would have come back under the control of the Pisistratid family and once again been ruled by the tyrants. Whatever the intention of the Persians and whatever lay behind the campaign at Marathon, what we can say with absolute confidence is that the victory at Marathon changed Greek history. The victors at Marathon were known thereafter as the Marathonomachoi, the men who fought at Marathon. And this was a badge of honour. To be one of these men was to be one of the elite. One can't help thinking that in the rest of the 5th century, as the Greeks fought so many wars among themselves and against each other, that the victory at Marathon must have seemed like one of the last great, good, honest wars, because it had been against a foreign invader. In that respect, I think the status of the men of Marathon only increased in the course of the 5th century in the same way that the status of World War II veterans has increased in this century as time goes on, again, by comparison with some of the other wars that we've been involved in since that time. So the Marathonomachoi then were heroes, particularly of the Athenians, and the campaign at Marathon was remembered then as the finest moment in Athenian history. Darius left Greece as a result of the failure at Marathon and died some years later before he was able to mount a second expedition to punish the Athenians. And it was left to his son in the 480s, Xerxes, to prepare what would not be simply a punitive raid against Athens, but would be a major invasion of the Greek peninsula by the forces of the Persian Empire. At first, early in the 480s, he was occupied by a revolt that had taken place in the Persian Empire. But by the late 480s, plans were well in hand for this full-scale invasion of Greece. Now, this was to take place both by land and by sea. Not a small army being ferried across in boats across the Aegean, but a huge army numbering, if Herodotus is to be believed, 1 million men, marching from Asia Minor across the Hellespont, marching across the Thracian coast, and then down into Greece. They would be supported as they marched by a naval contingent which would sail along the coast, supplying them and protecting them. And some measure of the enormity of this undertaking can be seen if one goes to Mount Athos in northern Greece and sees the canal that Xerxes planned on cutting all the way through the peninsula so that his fleet could sail from one side to the other of Athos without having to sail around its stormy and rocky edges.